This is our 2016 preview podcast for San Diego Comic-Con International. I'm Ryan Gallagher, and tonight I am joined once again by my good friend David Bax. Hey, David.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So David and I, if for anyone out there who hasn't been listening to the podcast for the past 6 years, David and I have been hanging out at San Diego Comic-Con, talking about movies, talking about whatever else we might see at the convention. And we've been doing these preview podcasts on and off again over the past 6 years. And here we are again.
Yeah, I have, like, I knew you through the internet and, like, being a guest on your podcast before Comic-Con, but I've literally never seen you in person outside of San Diego Comic-Con.
I know. It's funny how this works out. Two, like, film nerds, you know, Comic-Con is hardly, like, the place for hardcore film nerds, and yet this is our place.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess it depends. I mean, there's different types of hardcore film nerds.
Yes, definitely.
I guess there are people who are into the movies that are at Comic-Con, and with a couple of exceptions, those are not necessarily my kind of movies, but I love Comic-Con nonetheless.
Yeah. This is going to be my 25th Comic-Con.
Jeez Louise.
I figured it out earlier. I've been going as press or going like through Criterion Cast. I've been going since 2010, and I don't think,
which is when we met.
I went the first year that we started doing it, which we had just been doing it for like a couple of weeks in 2009. But then in 2010, I was able to go as press, and that's when Rudy went also, and you and I, and we all hung out together, and then we've just been hanging out ever since.
Yeah, yeah, and this is most people are impressed when I tell them this will be my 11th Comic-Con, but I am shamed by your 25 trips to the San Diego Convention Center.
Well, you'll get there one day.
Yeah, but then you'll be at whatever. I'm not going to do the math right now. Yes, I am. Hold on. When I'm at 25, you'll be at 39.
Oh, yeah. Man, I can't imagine still going to Comic-Con after 39 years, but I guess I have to. I can't stop now. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
I'm at the no looking back point.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's not. I mean, like, we joke, but it's not something to be like burdened about. Like, Comic-Con is a blast. It's something I look forward to.
It really is. Yes.
Although I do feel like every year it takes me longer and longer to start getting excited about Comic-Con. Like, I have other stuff going on in my life now that I didn't 10 years ago, mm-hmm. you know, where like even like 5 or 6 years ago, like as soon as like it would start being summer, I'd be like, it's Comic-Con season. Like, I'm going to get to go to Comic-Con in a month and a half or whatever. And I'd get excited for it. Now, like this year, it was like when the schedule came out last week, I was like, okay, now it's time to get excited for Comic-Con.
I feel so bad for all the movie press out there that go to Comic-Con and just complain about it and complain about, you know, the burden of covering the event as press. Like, I mean, we're both going as press and we cover it in our own ways. But
because we're our own bosses.
Yes, that's true.
We get to cover it in our own ways. Whereas people who are like covering it for a living have to do stuff that we can easily just say not worth it.
Yeah, we don't have to wait in line overnight for Hall H. We hardly even have to wait in line for Hall H if we don't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
So but yeah, I mean, it's always kind of a bummer to see the people who are usually enthusiastic about geek events like this, who have to just look at this as work, and they hardly take any time to enjoy it and go do fun things or even like hang out afterwards. Many of them are there like strictly to wait in line or cover this thing, and they have to write about it, and they don't have any time to hang out.
The way that things have changed with the movies and with Hall H being the center of everything, they can't hang out. If they're there to cover it, then when they're done with the one day, they have to go get in line for the next day.
Right.
I mean, that was a big... last year seemed like it was kind of a tipping point, partially because of the crazy Comic-Con wristband for Hall H system that they implemented, which they're apparently sticking to this year, which felt like it was designed to prevent camping out, but ended up making it so that you had to camp out.
So that just means that that's just where you have to be physically there to get a wristband, and then once you have that wristband, you can leave and come back later. Is that correct?
Yeah. You have to wait. At the night before, you wait in line, you get your wristband, and in theory, they start handing out the wristbands at like 9 p.m. the night before. You get your wristband, and then as long as you're back in line by 7:30 in the morning, you're fine. But the problem is that everyone lines up, and it takes them literally hours to go down this line of thousands of people and hand out wristbands. So people who got in line at 9 o'clock or whatever, or even earlier, were still waiting at 1:30 in the morning to get a wristband, to be able to have some time to go back to the hotel to be back there at 7:30.
Yeah.
It didn't work, and yet Comic-Con's sticking to it.
Well, for anyone...
The only thing I can hope is maybe they have more people handing out wristbands so they can get them handed out more quickly.
It's also funny that as the years go by, the Hall H panels seem to be getting like kind of winnowed down, where, you know, many of the studios aren't coming back. I think Fox is notably not there this year, where they've been.
Well, Fox was only the first one.
Oh,
and to say they're not, but Universal's not there this year, and neither is Paramount.
Oh.
Legendary's not there. Disney's not there, but that's nothing new outside of Marvel. But, you know, Disney doesn't really do Comic-Con anymore.
Yeah, they stopped
in any major way.
Yeah.
So it's really just Warner Brothers and Marvel now, and then there's some on Thursday. There's some other movie panels. But even Lionsgate doesn't have a panel this year.
Yeah. So all this press is going to be there. They're going to have to cover all these things that, you know, certainly aren't going to get very many clicks, I think, on their websites. But, you know, they got to do what they got to do.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe Saturday, maybe just, you know, Warner Brothers in the morning and Marvel at the end of the day on Saturday will be enough. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, these kind of sites tend to cover geek TV as well, and so Friday will be a big day for that in terms of The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones and stuff. But I don't plan on being anywhere near any of that stuff.
So let's. So typically, when we record these preview episodes, we go like night by night, and as usual, Wednesday is preview night. It's mostly just exclusives being released on the show floor, and then some TV pilots being shown in Ballroom 20. Are there any of these? Are any of the pilots showing this year ones that you've heard about or ones that you're excited for?
I'm not coming. I never go to the pilots on Wednesday night, mostly because I'm exclusive hunting, as you said. I'm a little bit interested as a guy who has, I'm a Johnny come lately to the Archie comics when they, what was it last year when they rebooted Archie with, Mark Waid writing it. Mm-hmm. And, so I've been reading the Archie comics, and so there's a new pilot called Riverdale that's like an Archie TV show. That one I'm a little interested in. But yeah, other than that, I don't know. There's People of Earth, which is the Conan O'Brien produced sitcom. But yeah, there's not. I never go to these pilots.
What are the exclusives that you're going to be hunting for?
Okay, here we go. Well, I always like to get the... I'm assuming they're doing it again this year, the Fox Home Video Blu-rays with exclusive art that they do every year. They've done it the last 3 years. Assuming they do it this year, it'll be the fourth year, but they haven't announced anything yet. But last year, they didn't announce until Tuesday, the day before, what they were going to be selling. So if there are Blu-rays, I'll get some, but at the time of this recording, I have no idea what Blu-rays they are or what the art looks like or anything like that. The main things I'm looking forward to in terms of comics, Dark Horse is doing a limited edition Hellboy in Hell Volume 2 hardcover. So I'll probably pick up that. And then I've never tried to get exclusive at Mondo, at the Mondo booth. I understand that it's very difficult.
Well, it's just like, it's a line that you have to wait in.
Yeah, but they have some records this year that I'm really interested in. On one, they have on vinyl the... Over the Garden Wall soundtrack.
Yes, definitely.
Super excited about that. And then have you seen these Inside Out 7-inches?
I did just see those. I think they just showed them a couple, like earlier this week.
It was just yesterday, like yesterday morning or something, they put those up. So what those are for the listeners, I think it's the same two songs on everyone. It's just six different versions of art. It's just two, not even songs, just tracks, Michael Giacchino tracks from Inside Out. It's a 7-inch, but it's 6 different pieces of art, one for each of the emotions and one for Riley, the main character. And they're all like parodies, I guess, of classic album covers. So I think Riley and her friend, whose name I forget, it's been a while since I've watched Inside Out. You have a daughter, so I imagine you've watched it 3 times today. Riley and her friend are Smashing Pumpkins' Siamese Dream, the two girls on the cover. Joy is Isaac Hayes. Sadness is Joni Mitchell. Fear is David Bowie. Disgust is the whole Live Through This cover, which is a clever one because instead of holding a bouquet of flowers, she's holding a giant stalk of broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one that I most have my eye on is the anger one, which is the Black Flag damaged cover with him punching the mirror, which is so perfect for anger. So I'm hoping, I know there's different quantities of each one, and I know that the Black Flag one is on the rarer side. So I'm hoping I am able to pick up one of those.
So these are $15 each. Are you going to try to get all of them?
No, I'm going to pick, I'm only going to get one of them.
Okay.
I have an order in my mind, and depending on which ones are available. So the Black Flag is number one for me. Probably Siamese Dream is number, the Smashing Pumpkins one is number two, and so on and so forth. But yeah, I can't spend enough money to get all 6 of them, especially when I'm also hoping to buy that Over the Garden Wall thing and that Hellboy thing. It's cool, but it's $40 for a hardcover graphic novel.
Is that like so the Hellboy comics, they do library editions? Is that one of those?
Well, this is a series called Hellboy in Hell that is exactly what it sounds like. It's Hellboy walking through hell. And they did, I haven't been reading it, you know, I read it when they did the hardcover 2 or 3 years ago at Comic-Con. I bought that limited edition hardcover of volume 1, so I figure that's, I guess, the collector mentality. Like, it's like, well, I started, so now I have to keep going.
No, yeah, this last run of Hellboy in Hell is the last Hellboy books that Mike Mignola is going to do kind of indefinitely. Like, he kind of ended his series essentially with this last issue of Hellboy in Hell. I think he's taking off, like, you know, to go paint and, you know, kind of do his own thing and stop working on comics. I think he might still be writing for BPRD, but it's this Hellboy in Hell kind of wraps up the Hellboy story that he's been writing for, you know, 20 years.
So what about you? Any exclusives on your list?
There are definitely some Mondo things that I have my eye on, like that Over the Garden Wall soundtrack or the vinyl.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I might look at some of the other prints that they have there. Apparently this year, like, the enamel pins are just exploding in, the fashion world or like the retail world. I mean, it is crazy how many people are out there selling enamel pins, and Mondo is also, I don't think I'll get any of the, like, the superhero ones that they do, but if I see any other cool film related pins, I might pick some up. But yeah, Wednesday is usually me thinking that I can just wander around the floor and then feeling overwhelmed by the amount of people and then just kind of saying, like, all right, I've seen enough. I'm going to get out of here.
Well, because, you have that old school mentality. You've been going probably longer than there has been a preview night, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely. And I even remember, like, preview night felt like people were still setting up. You know, booths weren't even ready yet. And now it's just another day. And as we've been saying that, you know, for years now, but it was,
I don't have that with preview night, but I do have that with Hall H. Like, the story I love to tell is the year, it was 2010, the year that Harrison Ford made his first appearance at Comic-Con for Cowboys and Aliens, of all things.
Mm-hmm.
I like spent my morning doing something else and got in the Hall H line in the early afternoon and got in for Cowboys and Aliens and then the Marvel panel. That's in just a few short years, that is ridiculous now. Like, there's no way you could ever do that now.
I mean, I feel like I have still gone into Hall H.
But not for Marvel.
definitely not. I mean, not for any of the big events, but, you know, for some of the smaller things that people end up leaving for. I mean, like a couple of years ago, I ended up going for the Batman, the TV show, when it was released on Blu-ray. They did a little thing in Hall H for that. Oh, and right. I managed to walk in, and, it was like half full. And so,
this will be a good way, I guess, to get us into Thursday, because I think of this Comic-Con, Thursday will be the day that you can probably just walk into Hall H, because it's a really, like, it's eclectic, but there's nothing that has a huge following there.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. And the first thing that morning, the DreamWorks animation one, I've gone to that panel before when it was upstairs, and I've always enjoyed it, and I would love to go back and see this again. And I have to imagine that, like you said, Hall H on Thursday, maybe Snowden, just because Joseph Gordon-Levitt, but...
I don't think so. I think it's going to be, you're going to be able to walk in, and I'm very excited for, after DreamWorks, which will be cool. They're mostly there to push Trolls, which I don't care about.
Yeah.
But I think Justin Timberlake will give good panel. but the next two are like auteur-driven panels. You've got Oliver Stone making his Comic-Con debut for Snowden. And then you've got, after that, Luc Besson with Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets, which I went to the Lucy panel at WonderCon like 2 years ago, I guess that was. And Luc Besson was great. So I have confidence that he'll be an entertaining guy to see in Hall H.
The only other panel, I guess like following the DreamWorks one, that might conflict with me wanting to just stay in Hall H is there's that new Disney movie... Moana, there's an art of the story panel upstairs at 1 o'clock that I've highlighted that I want to go check out.
Yeah, and that's essentially the only Disney Studios panel for the whole weekend, is this small panel on the art of Moana. And people who listen to the Battleship Retention preview episode will have heard me say this, but I know it's Moana, but I want to say Mona, like Tony Danza. Every time I see it. But yeah, this is a panel. This is like, we talked about Disney not really being at Comic-Con anymore, but this is a panel. They do some version of this panel every year, the art of whatever they're pushing. And sometimes it's something that hasn't come out yet, or sometimes it's something that has recently come out. Like, I think last year it was Big Hero 6, which had already come out by that point. It was already half a year old, I guess, by that point. But yeah, this is the presence that Disney has at Comic-Con now. They pretty much save all their good stuff for D23.
Do you go to D23?
No, I never have. I don't know that I would.
Yeah.
And I think, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to go off on another one, but we passed it by, and neither of us will probably go to it, but maybe the Masters of the Web panel at 11 o'clock, that one is one that we always end up talking about, just because we've gone to it in the past. And it's fun, as, people who write online and manage websites, to go and, hear other people who do this type of thing talk about this stuff and kind of talk through some of the issues involved with writing about movies online. But I don't know if I'll go this year.
Well, let me ask you, which movie is sponsoring the panel this year that the panel will actually be about? Because that's why I stopped going to this, is that it's always like Masters of the Web, and it's all these like film writers and bloggers and stuff, but then it's like brought to you by Dread or whatever, and then the panel is actually just about Dread.
I hear you. I don't know, let's pull it up here on the website. I haven't been in several years. They don't list a movie on the description, or at least like they don't list an actor who will be a part of this, but it is John Campia, who does a lot of like videos online. I think he works with Collider, or maybe he has left that and is doing something else, but anyway, he's the moderator on the panel.
Who can keep track?
But Gray Drake from Rotten Tomatoes will be there, and so it might be fun to hear her talk about her experiences. But other than that, like, it's a lot of YouTube or video critics talking about this stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, Gray Drake is a delight. I like her a lot.
Yeah. After that, there's a panel, I think at 2 o'clock, that caught my interest: the State of the Holodeck pretty nerdy, but I think would be fun just because I think, like, you know, the current world of VR is moving forward pretty quickly with all the new hardware being released. And so, and, you know, I'm certainly a believer in that, like, the holodeck is kind of like the inevitable future of movies or, like, you know, interactive media. And so I would like to hear people talk about that topic a little bit.
Sounds great.
What do you,
2 o'clock is the they've been doing this every year for the last few years. The 1986 every year now there's a panel that's looking back on the movies of, like, the geek movies of 30 years ago. This mm-hmm. one's called 1986. There Can Be Only One. So I'm guessing they're going to mention Highlander at some point, but also Aliens and whatever else. But I actually, this is one they I probably won't go because the same group of people also do this at WonderCon every year. Oh, and so I went to it at WonderCon, and it was a fun time just hearing people talk about. I know my co-host over at Battleship Retention hates this panel because as much as Tyler loves Comic-Con, a part of him wants the movie panels to be in-depth analytical discussions like we have on our podcast. Yeah. And it's like, that's not what the scene is there. So this is just a fun, like, how about this movie? How about this movie? But mm-hmm. you know, some people do end up bringing up some sort of below the radar movies or movies they love that aren't necessarily like genre or geek movies. So having been to it at Comic-Con, I can say it's a fun time, this panel.
Yeah.
At WonderCon, rather.
Robert Meyer Burnett and Charles de Lazarica are going to be on the panel, and they are both big geeks, and I love hearing them talk about stuff.
Yeah.
There's a panel on greatest movies and TV never made at 4 o'clock. And, you know, there are lots of books and articles written about this type of thing all the time, but it's always fun to hear about, like, you know, the projects that got shelved or, you know, things that just never came to pass.
There's also a early history of comic book films.
I had that one.
Talking about, like, early too. Silence and serials and stuff like that. And that's at, I've never been to a panel. They only started doing this last year, maybe 2 years ago. Panels at that are not at the convention center at the San Diego Central Library.
Oh, you know, I have that highlighted too, because they there's actually a lot of, maybe that's why I didn't see it on the spreadsheet that I had, but there's actually a lot of panels about podcasts over at the library this year.
Yes. Yeah, there's a comics podcast, I think, on Thursday or Friday that I was kind of interested in.
Yeah, and then, like, there's the on Saturday there's a Lost with Jay and Jack, that podcast.
Right.
There's a, like, Lost Fans Unite panel. They do that, though. They've still been doing that, right, every year since Lost ended.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, Jay and Jack have had a panel even while Lost was on, and they've continued to have a panel every year about Lost, and good for them. At least someone else besides me still loves Lost.
Yeah. I mean, I just recently started watching The Leftovers for the first time, and I, you know, yeah, with Damon Lindelof involved, like, I get a huge Lost vibe from it, and I'm enjoying it, and it's making me actually want to go back and rewatch Lost watching The Leftovers.
Yeah, I rewatched the first three seasons of Lost somewhat recently, and I'll go back and watch the second half someday. Especially since the fourth season includes The Constant, which is the best Lost episode of all time. But that's not what we're here to talk about. I jump back to Hall H real quick?
Yeah, definitely.
Because I want to mention, I think it's really cool they're doing this, even though I think not that many people will be there. A panel called Under the Radar, which includes, comedian and podcast host Doug Benson is going to be on it, but also some film critics, including Amy Nicholson, who's been on my podcast a number of times, and Jen Yamato and Eric Davis. Is that his name?
Oh, yeah.
And it's sort of, they're going to be talking about, like, genre, like, recent genre movies, like the kind of stuff that should have an audience at Comic-Con, but that are under the radar, that are indie movies, that are festival movies. It's a really cool idea to put this in Hall H, to say, hey, I know you guys, you come to Hall H to see your, you know, your Justice Leagues and your Avengers and what have you, but here's some cool stuff that you probably like that we've seen at festivals over the past year. I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, that is an awesome idea. Hopefully people will stick around for that.
Yeah.
So our meetup is on Thursday night. I have a bunch of things highlighted right before our meetup starts, which is kind of unfortunate, but
I do that every year.
Me too. Yeah. So there's like this DVD Tuesday live panel at 7 o'clock that I'd like to go to. There's also the Spike and Mike's Festival of Animation,
which actually that goes into our meetup.
So I wouldn't be able to go to that, but, there's also this hip hop and comics panel that I just found out about.
No, I don't think I wrote that one down.
But yeah, the DVD one is kind of like the only home video centric panel that I could find throughout the entire weekend. And so,
well, there's a Shout Factory, Scream Factory.
Oh, right, of course, there's that one too.
But they're weirdly like doing it in the evening.
Yeah,
like,
that one. I don't know if it's really late. It's at 8 o'clock at night on Friday.
Yeah.
That's kind of almost too late for me, especially bringing my daughter to San Diego. Like, I feel like I have to be there for that panel, but I also have more serious obligations in my life. Eight o'clock is just that just seems so late for a regular Comic-Con panel. Like, sometimes they'll do screenings or other things late at night, but it just seems weird to push that late.
And a lot of times it makes me want, like, 'cause a lot of times the later at night stuff will be like. You know, we're getting ahead of ourselves with, like, Preacher is going to be later in the evening, and, like, when they do the R-rated The Killing Joke premiere is going to be, like, it seems like it's the more grown-up fare. And I don't know if it's maybe, like, is Scream Factory going to be showing some, like, really disturbing clips, you know, from, like, slasher movies or whatever? It seems weird that it's so late. But, yeah, there's not a lot of home video stuff, especially since our, very sadly, our friends at Warner Archive have no official... official presence at Comic-Con this year.
Well, we'll get to that, because they actually stuff is changing. From what yes, and I think it's on.
Sounds
the,
like
it's,
you
it's
have
on,
some.
Well, no, it's even it's on the schedule now too, but it wasn't originally when this was first put up online. One other thing on Thursday that I had highlighted that I had fun at a couple years ago is the Funimation industry panel. Just because I don't watch a lot of anime, but this, when I went to the Funimation panel a couple years ago, it was mostly because I wanted to see if they were going to talk about Akira coming to Blu-ray, which they didn't talk about at the panel, but eventually did happen. But I sat through the entire hour of watching all this anime that I had never seen before, but it was the first time that I had seen anything about Attack on Titan, which has become like a big thing here in the States. So anyway,
let's talk about the most important thing that's happening on
of
Thursday.
Of course, that was just yes.
Which is the, I'll say it in this order for this show, the Criterion Cast Battleship Retention Meetup. that's not the order I've been saying it on the other podcast.
Naturally.
But from 8 to 10 p.m. At the Bootlegger in the Gas Lamp, I'd give you an address, but what do you care? You got smartphones. If you're going to be at Comic-Con, look up the Bootlegger. It's not too far from the convention center. It's a cool little bar. You know, we've moved our meetup from year to year, and I think this is, you know, with all respect to the Tipsy Crow in Dublin Square, this is my favorite place that our meetup has been, because they got a great beer selection, and they actually have really terrific food as well. But from 8 to 10 p.m., you and I and Tyler will be welcoming and greeting all of our favorite fans and listeners. And you can hang out and you can have a drink on us, but not really on us, on our sponsor, who we'll get to in a second, from 8 to 10 p.m. Who is that sponsor, Ryan?
We are sponsored this year by the folks at Filmstruck. You might have heard of Filmstruck recently when it was revealed that the Criterion Collection was leaving Hulu and they were going to be moving to a new streaming platform that was coming later this year. That is Filmstruck. It's being designed and put together by folks at Turner and some other organizations. Criterion is obviously heavily involved with it because they're moving their entire streaming library over there. But other companies will be involved as well. I think Kino and I think Milestone and a number of other folks are going to be moving. Yeah. So
yeah, it is, while it's, you know, associated with Turner Classic Movies, this is not going to be the... necessarily the movies, you know, the old Hollywood movies you see on Turner Classic. This is a like the Criterion Collection. It's a big focus on art house foreign and independent movies, which anyone who knows me and knows Battleship Retention knows is right up my alley.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people are very curious to see what Filmstruck turns out to, and it was cool that they decided to sponsor our event. And you know, we'll
I've gone beyond. I was curious about them, but then they decided to sponsor our meetup, and now I'm just plain excited. Now I'm 100% confident that Filmstruck is going to be a massive success and the greatest streaming service in the history of streaming movies. let's go Filmstruck.
We'll have little things to hand out there at the event if you want to come say hi, and you know, be sure to thank Filmstruck online and follow them if you're not already.
Yeah.
So that'll be a fun evening there.
At the
hopefully,
bootlegger. Let's say it one more time.
At the bootlegger.
The bootlegger.
So Friday. Friday, there are a lot of things to go see. The first thing, like bright and early on Friday morning, they're going to be screening the new documentary about the Iron Giant with Brad Bird. It's called, I guess, like the panel's called The Giant's Dream, documentary screening and chat with Brad Bird. Obviously, the Iron Giant is coming to Blu-ray later this year. They had a theatrical run, a limited theatrical run last year. And, you know, it was made available digitally. It's now going to be available in high definition. And so it's going to be, it's neat that they're showing off this documentary that they had been working on.
Let me give you the inside scoop. Right. Again, I saw The Giant's Dream at WonderCon, and it's fantastic.
Awesome.
So I probably won't go to this because, like I said, I saw it at WonderCon. But seriously, if you're interested in this, you should go because it's great for Iron Giant fans, but it's also just a really terrific documentary on its own. It's not just like a glorified making of. It really gets inside sort of who Brad Bird is as an artist and who he was as a young artist, and how the Iron Giant came together from Warner Brothers animation being sort of a thrown together sort of band of misfits, and just the things that had to come together for the Iron Giant to happen when it did and be as great as it is. It's a great story just on its own.
So what do you have bookmarked for your first thing to see on Friday?
Here's the thing. Friday's a day where I have a lot of stuff that I'm really excited about, but it might be the day that I just walk around the offsites and stuff for most of the day. Because there's a lot of cool stuff there. But I would say there's cool stuff. Star Wars The Science Awakens will be cool. There's the... as far as comic book panels, there's the British Invasion Spirit of 86 about like Watchmen and stuff like that. The first thing I'm really interested in is a panel at 1 p.m. at a new location, a location that did not exist in past Comic-Cons, at the Pacific 24, which is there's new event space at the Marriott, I think, this year. And they're doing a panel called Women Below the Line. And it's women who work in VFX or in video games or in television editing or just all sorts of pop culture and entertainment, women behind the scenes, women talking about their experiences in their industries. That sounds like a really interesting one, both because of the subject matter and because I'm interested to go to see this new event space at the Marriott.
There is the stuff in the Indigo Ballroom at the Hilton Bayfront. There's like the Steven Universe panel in the morning. There's a Rick and Morty panel in the afternoon. And then Samurai Jack is happening at 3:30, I think. Those are all ones that I would love to go to. And I think that the Indigo Ballroom is big enough to where I wouldn't feel like I'd get, you know, turned away.
It depends on how early you go. Because I found when it's animation all day in Indigo, I mean, if you get there in the morning and you're planning on staying, that's great. But if you're thinking you can go to Steven Universe in the morning and then leave and come back for Bob's Burgers or Archer or whatever is later, you can't do that. Once you're in, you need to stay. And I've done that the past couple of years, just stayed in Indigo Ballroom for their all-day Friday animation things. And it is fun. But once that room fills up in the morning, there's not really a lot of turnover at all.
Yeah, I don't think I could commit to that, but I definitely want to see the Samurai Jack material that they have.
There's no Adventure Time panel this year.
Is that show not coming back for another season?
As far as I know, it is.
Okay.
I said this on Battleship Retention. As much as I'm sure Steven Universe is great, a part of me like is bummed that Steven Universe has become the cool show on Cartoon Network now, and I feel like I want to be like, but guys, Adventure Time is still great. Don't forget about Adventure Time just because Steven Universe is the cool new thing.
But
I'm sure it's great.
It is pretty great. So I mean, but yes, we should. I mean, there's still a Simpsons panel every year. Like, you know, you gotta give credit to the folks who are kind of changing the way that these things are made. There is also real quick, like early in the morning, there's a My Little Pony panel, and okay, this is something that I've never been to before. But over the past year, Miranda and I have now gone through the entirety of My Little Pony, the new run of it. It was a show that I'd always wanted to kind of get into just because of hearing about how much people enjoyed it. And late last year, Miranda was finally old enough to where she wanted to watch it. And so we plowed through everything that was on Netflix and now have since watched like the last, you know, dozen episodes for this first part of season 6. So now I'm finally
is Friendship Magic? Is that
it really is?
That really is.
The show is pretty funny though. You know, all joking aside, but it is very much like a kid's show. So it's not something that I would say, oh, if you know, grown-ups can get something out of this as well. I don't think I would go that far.
This will just be like grouping a bunch of panels together. But there's a cool thing that I don't know if they've been doing this for a long time. I only noticed it the last couple of years and actually went to one in the last couple of years. But a lot of motion picture industry, like guilds and unions, will have their mm-hmm. own panels. And Friday alone has, I think, art directors, costume designers, and location scouts throughout the day all have their own panels. And they are really interesting and cool. And I think it's just worth pointing out that you can be a movie geek at Comic-Con, and that doesn't just mean going to see the big extended trailers for Doctor Strange or whatever. You know, you mm-hmm. can, like, there's some serious movie geek stuff going on at Comic-Con.
Later on in the afternoon, there is a panel on Michael Barrier, a spotlight on Michael Barrier. I think he's one of the guests of Comic-Con this year. It's at 4:00, and Michael Barrier is kind of an animation scholar. He's written books on Walt Disney, and he is someone that I definitely want to go hear him talk, and I'm sure there will be a lot of other animation, you know, geeks and scholars there, like, you know, people like Jerry Beck. I'm sure he will be there. So that's one that I definitely don't want to miss.
At 4, what time? I'm missing it now. 4:30, there's a Beauty and the Beast 25th anniversary panel.
Yeah.
That's, of course, the animated Beauty and the Beast, the one that's 25 years old. That's how you can figure that out.
It is getting a new Blu-ray re-release this year, so I wonder if that's just in conjunction with that, plus, like, the live-action remake of the movie. You know, they're kind of banking on that.
But, yeah, there's another, there's another home video panel for you then.
Yeah, that one is at the same time as that Michael Barrier one, and so I think I might go to that instead of... I do have both highlighted, so I guess it'll just depend on if the Michael Barrier one is too crowded, then I'll go to the Beauty and the Beast one.
Well, speaking of conflicts, horror fans will have a conflict, horror movie fans, because there's no way you can do both of these. At 5, from 5 to 6 p.m., there's a panel called Reinventing Horror, and then from 6 to 7 p.m. in a different room, there's Bold Voices of Contemporary Horror. That seems like a weird choice to put two small horror movie panels in such a way that you can't possibly go to both of them.
There's also, at the same time, or at 5:30, there's this Famous Monsters of Filmland panel too. And then, like, Preacher is happening in Hall H, like, right afterwards.
Yeah. And the preacher panel, I don't know if you've heard what they're, if you saw what they're doing there.
I haven't.
But that's what, that's a Friday. So the new episode will be on Sunday.
Oh,
they're doing a live read of the new episode.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
So the actors, so it's the main three actors are going to be the Dominic Cooper, Ruth Negga, and the Irishman who plays the vampire. I can't remember his name. But then I think also Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, producers, will be there. So I imagine they'll be pitching in with voices and stuff. And they're going to go through, they're going to do the whole episode, which sounds cool. Speaking of, not to jump back to Thursday, but speaking of Seth Rogen, we didn't mention the Sausage Party panel, which is in the Horton Grand Theater, which is a weird other thing I've never been to because it's a whole rigmarole to try to get into that thing.
Yeah, you have to get like, do you have to get tickets for it?
You have to go to the sales pavilion in the convention center and then enter a lottery for a ticket. And then once you have a ticket, you're good as long as you show up to the panel 15 minutes before. If you don't show up 15 minutes before, they give your seat away to the standby list or whatever. But what's interesting about that is it's a panel about Sausage Party, but it's also the last panel of the day at the Horton Grand, and then afterwards they're just showing the movie. So it's a way, if for some reason you don't want to go to the Battleship Retention Criterion Cast, I'm sorry, Criterion Cast Battleship Retention meetup on Thursday, I guess you could try to see Sausage Party early, but I don't know why you'd make that decision.
No, I don't think any of our listeners would do that.
And then at so, the yeah. end of the day, on or near the end of the day on Friday, there's the, this is another panel that I like because it's fun and my co-host Tyler hates because it's not, analytical enough, but the, Your Opinion Sucks, mm-hmm. Rotten Tomatoes Critics versus Fans panel. Those are a blast. They're fun.
And then right after that is another conflict for me, but one that I think I'll definitely, if I were to, so like after 8 o'clock, there's the Worst Cartoons Ever that Jerry Beck does every year. And those are fun, although they are very bad. And they're, you know, some of them aren't so bad. They're good. They're just almost unwatchable.
That's been my problem with that panel is that yeah. they're just too bad.
Yeah. But then also the Shout Factory, Scream Factory panel is at 8 o'clock. Again, very late, but it will be fun. They always bring exclusive stuff to announce there. They're always announcing titles. Although they do typically just tweet out the stuff as the event is going on, which I find incredibly frustrating as someone who goes to these events. Like, it's fun when we, you know, the people who go there and our fans get to kind of like reveal this stuff to our limited audiences versus like the publicist who's in the audience also like with all of the tweets pre-written and they're just like, you know, scheduling this stuff as the event is going on. Like that just, you know, like let us have some reason to go to the event and
not tweet, just as a fan, but as someone who's quote unquote covering Comic-Con, it is frustrating to be trying to beat the Shout Factory Twitter account
yes.
to making the announcements that I just heard 25 seconds before.
I know. I feel sometimes I feel like it's a race. Like I'm racing whoever else is in that room to get the tweet up first, even though like, you know, I'll go look on Twitter and then everyone will retweet, you know, the main account. And like, but I had it first for like 5 seconds there. People could have seen it. but I am excited to see what they have to announce. I mean, they've just recently, like within the last few days, they announced they're going to be doing a new limited edition series of Blu-rays, which is something that they haven't even dabbled in before, where, you know, they're going to be doing limited runs of some Blu-rays that are, you know, harder to find with a much smaller audience, stuff, you know, things that people maybe like Scream or Twilight Time, you know, they do limited edition runs. And then there are some other folks like Code Red and Scorpion and these other smaller boutique labels that do limited runs. And now Shout Factory is getting in the game. Some of the people on Facebook were just like, some of the fans were just so mad that they were getting into this. A lot of people really don't like the limited edition runs. But I think a lot of the people who were upset were just, foreign or, you know, like people who live outside of the States who import a lot of things, and they were just, you know, it's going to make it a lot harder for them to get it. And so they were upset about it, but yeah. But, you know, over the past couple weeks, also Shout Factory or Scream Factory has announced things like Child's Play and Carrie, some pretty big titles that they're getting the rights to distribute, you know, Blu-rays for. And I'm curious to see what they've saved for the event as, you know, like big ones to announce. You know, like last year, I think they revealed that they were doing, I think it was last year that they announced Mad Max, and then, you know, a number of other kind of bigger titles that they had been saving. And so we'll see what they've been saving for this year.
I also want to mention, speaking of horror fans earlier, and we're still speaking with Scream Factory, Lionsgate is supposed to be screening somewhere in the Gaslamp Friday night the new Adam Wingard horror movie, The Woods. I'm trying to get some more information. I don't know where or when it's happening, but I would like to see that. I'm not sure how you can get into that.
It seems like there should be other screenings of upcoming geek movies. I mean, like, Suicide Squad is going to be coming out soon. I'm surprised that there hasn't been any talk that I know of a press screening or an advanced screening of Suicide Squad. It seems like the perfect place for that.
But they could be doing a thing like, no one knew they were screening Scott Pilgrim until 5 minutes before they screened it. You know, they kept that a secret back in 2010. So if there is a Suicide Squad screening, I almost said screening, maybe it's a secret and they're trying to, every year there's some sort of secret. Like last year it was the Star Wars concert, right?
Did you go to that?
No, because, yeah, I would have had to be in line 36 hours beforehand for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, every year there's some sort of last minute secret thing. So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe there's going to be a Suicide Squad thing.
Yeah, 1 year I got to go see The Wolverine, which was a secret screening at Comic-Con, and that was a lot of fun. I mean, 1 year also they showed, maybe it was even the same year, they showed that Wong Kar-wai movie, The Grandmaster, just like out of the blue. It just suddenly happened to be a screening there. Maybe on Saturday during the Warner Brothers panel in Hall H, they'll suddenly reveal that everyone who's there gets a chance to watch Suicide Squad early.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Was there anything else on Friday night that you wanted to talk about?
No, I think we can move on to Saturday.
Oh, there is, one other thing. There is a panel on Heavy Metal, the movie, kind of celebrating that one. I have a soft spot in my heart for that one, even though I've in rewatching it, it doesn't hold up quite as well. But I might go up to that panel after the Scream Factory one, if I'm there that late already. So Saturday, let's see, what do I have here first? I mean, there is the Warner Brothers panel in Hall H, but...
Yeah, I guess we can address the Hall H thing, even though you and I are not going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, there's hardly any reason for me to want to go there. I don't even know what Warner Brothers will be talking about. Maybe Justice League?
It'll be... Suicide Squad is the main thing, but yeah, I think the assumption is that Wonder Woman and Justice League, as far as non-DC properties, there's... Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Oh yeah,
and Kong, Skull Island, which is somehow Warner Brothers. Even though King Kong is associated with Universal, somehow it's a Warner Brothers movie.
Isn't that like a Legendary thing, or is this still like a Legendary?
Legendary is not with Warner Brothers anymore, so I don't even know. Right.
Interesting. Maybe they have. Maybe this is one of the last things that they still had joint rights to. What do you have? So you're probably not going to Hall H. What are you planning on going to first?
Given the nature of our podcast, I'm trying to keep this to movie stuff, but I honestly don't have a lot of movie stuff. Like my first two like things that I have circled on Saturday are comics things. There's a spotlight on Daniel Clowes.
Mm-hmm.
Or Clowes. I don't know how you say his name.
I think it's Clowes.
Okay, but he wrote Ghost World. Yep. And his most recent one, Patience, I literally just finished reading it tonight before we recorded. It's fantastic. And then a little later after that, there's the Archie Comics 75-year anniversary panel, which sounds cool. I've talked about Archie now twice on this podcast. Twice more than I've ever talked about Archie. It's two times more than ever before.
Early in the morning, go ahead. There's also a spotlight on Kate Beaton. The kind of web comic artist and print comic artist, but she for Criterion fans, she did the poster, that Charlie Chaplin poster, when Janice first unveiled the rights to it, and they did a bunch of theatrical screenings. She did that Chaplin poster that they had.
There's a really interesting one at 1 p.m. called Hollywood to Bollywood via Dubai. Yeah, tomorrow's movie production super triangle.
The panel right before that, too, might be worth sitting in on if you're going to go to that one, because it's this production designer, architect of imagination one.
Yes, production designers of the Art Directors Guild who work in the sci-fi fantasy genre.
I guess there's also a panel on costumes before that. And then if you wanted to stay afterwards, you could go to watch the Sid and Marty Croft panel.
Yeah, no, that's not for me. Sid and Marty Croft, not my thing. The new HBO show Vice Principals has a panel at the Horton Grand. I don't know if I'll jump through those hoops to try and go.
So do you not typically go to, let's see, what is Ballroom? Ballroom 20 is like the Simpsons, Family Guy, American Dad thing. Are there any shows that you're watching now that are in Ballroom 20 this year?
This year, there's not. Usually I do a lot of TV at Comic-Con, and this year there's like, I want to try to go to, it's mostly comedy stuff. I want to try to go to Silicon Valley and Vice Principals and Last Man on Earth, but there's not, like last year I was in Ballroom 20 like all day on Saturday. I sat through all the Seth MacFarlane bullshit and the Simpsons panel, which the Simpsons, even though I haven't watched the Simpsons in years, the Simpsons panel was great because Guillermo del Toro was there for almost no reason, just because he loves the Simpsons. But I sat through it just so I could be there for Outlander and Hannibal. But there's not really anything like that this year. Outlander's not at Comic-Con this year. Hannibal's obviously not because it doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. And like there's TV stuff that I want to see. Like, I'm really interested in the BBC America's Dirk Gently series because I read the Dirk Gently books. For those who don't know, Dirk Gently is a detective, and it's a two novel series written by Douglas Adams, who wrote the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy books. BBC America is making a series out of those, but the problem is that it's right before Orphan Black, and the Orphan Black fans are going to camp out for that. And there's no way I'm going to get in.
Are you going to do, say, what else? There's like the Indigo Ballroom. There's TV stuff in there.
And that's where I mentioned Last Man on Earth, and that's at the end of the day. And before that is Son of Zorn, which is the new sitcom from Lord and Miller, who do Last Man on Earth. And that looks interesting to me.
There's a panel on The Expanse, which I really liked that series.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I thought it was pretty good. Did you not watch it?
I haven't watched it.
It took a little bit to get into. I mean, it's very like hard sci-fi, and they don't make it easy on you. In some ways, it kind of feels like The Wire of sci-fi, where it's like very dense right away, and you have to just keep going. And then as you go, like, you know, characters will seem more familiar, and you'll kind of understand why, you know, they're talking in this very thick accent that is kind of hard to understand, and you know, the politics of everything are a little hard to follow if you're just kind of casually watching it. You have to really kind of plot this stuff out to see, like, you know, who's against who and why are these people against these other ones. But you know, overall, I thought they did a pretty great job with adapting those books, and like, you know, kind of in a lot of ways it's like the, you know, a follow-up, you know, in spirit, I guess, to maybe something like Battlestar Galactica, where it's just, you know, hard sci-fi, but done in, like, you know, a kind of fun and fresh way. There's, I guess, speaking of Battlestar Galactica, there's a Bear McCreary panel at 3:30 talking about, you know, all of the music that he does for, you know, different TV shows and whatnot.
And we skipped over, because we're not really talking about Hall H, we skipped over the Aliens 30th Anniversary panel, which will... I mean, that'll be a badass panel, but it's just too much of a commitment to be in line for that. But James Cameron, yeah. Sigourney Weaver, Michael Biehn, Paul Reiser is going to be there. A lot of people. That's going to be super cool. But unfortunately, I doubt I'll be there.
Yeah. And then in the evening, there's a few more... conflicting panels. So at 5:30 there is going to be a Warner Archive panel. They're doing the Toonstock sing-along, where they bring some clips from different like animated things that they've done, including like the Batman Brave and the Bold Music Meister episode, and then they get, you know, the audience to sing along with that. But at the same time,
I didn't realize they were doing that.
At the same time, there's a Buckaroo Banzai panel in room 8, which I think I want to go to instead.
And then there's also at 5:30, there's a really cool sounding panel at the Horton Grand, which I've already said, jumped through a lot of hoops to get into that that room. But it's the Final Girls and the Future of the Midnight Movie. And it's weird because the Final Girls is a movie that came out last year that has a weirdly big presence at Comic-Con this year. They're doing a panel and a screening of the movie at some point, and also they have a Final Girls ice cream truck. I don't know. but it seems like they're really saying, like, we're a cult movie now. Like, embrace us as a cult movie. It seems like it walks the line of maybe trying too hard, but the fact that I saw the movie last year and liked it makes me want to go a little easy on them. And also the fact that this panel, it's not just about the movie The Final Girls. Their description says, they haven't announced any names, but there will be secret, like, surprise guests of actual actresses who played Final Girls in horror movies. So fingers crossed for some big names there. I mean, I'm not sure who we can hold out for. There's I've heard some people talk about rumors that Jamie Lee Curtis is there for Scream Queens, so maybe she could. Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, this is really shooting for the stars, but Sigourney Weaver is technically the final girl of Alien, right?
Yeah.
So, and we know she's in town, so maybe she could do the panel. That'd be great.
Yeah, she'd have to rush from Hall H over to the Horton Grand Theater in between.
Well, she's got an hour and 15 minutes. Oh, and that's true. She doesn't have to wait in line. She's Sigourney goddamn Weaver.
For me, the only other thing on Saturday that I have highlighted that I would think about staying, although it is another late panel at 8:30, there's a Mystery Science Theater 3000 panel, I guess celebrating the return of it with the recent, like, Kickstarter campaign and all the stuff that's gone into relaunching the series.
Yeah. And Joel Hodgson's going to be there, which is cool. But I'm disappointed to hear you say you're interested in that, because I assumed you and I were going to get sushi on Saturday night.
Well,
because that's what we do on Saturday nights at Comic-Con.
That is what we do. And yes, I'm sure that's what we'll end up doing.
Okay, good. I'm banking on it.
There is also a Mask voice cast 31st anniversary reunion panel right around the same time at 9 o'clock at night.
Hitting the big 3-1, huh?
I know. but I loved Mask as a kid, and so I had to
highlight
it.
Last year, I was like, I just got to wait one more year for that 31st anniversary.
Sunday. Sunday, there isn't really anything that I have that I'm like, oh, I have to stay for this. And that's typically how Sundays go. I mean, Sundays are like, even though there are all these panels going on, there's not the whole lot that I have that I want to see.
Sunday's my day. Like, I talked about Wednesday, like, preview night is me hustling for, like, I have a plan and I'm hustling from booth to booth to get exclusives. And Sunday is my day to actually enjoy the exhibit hall floor. And so I'll walk around and probably do some impulse buys and maybe buy a present for my wife. And, I generally don't go to any panels on Sundays.
There is going to be a Sherlock panel in Hall H in the morning. Uh-huh. Have you heard anything about that? Are they going to be showing any, like, footage from, you know, stuff that they've shot for the next series?
I haven't heard anything about that. I do. Nothing's been announced in terms of cast, but the assumption is that Benedict Cumberbatch will be in town for Doctor Strange.
Oh, right.
And therefore, the assumption is that Benedict Cumberbatch will be at the Sherlock panel.
But they haven't announced that for the Marvel panel yet.
Yeah, I part of me thinks that maybe, like, BBC or is that where it airs on PBS, right?
Well, it's BBC in the UK.
But I'm not sure who is bringing it.
Oh,
to
yeah, I see what you're saying.
I wonder if they're, like, being asked by Marvel to don't announce that Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be at your panel because we want to keep it a secret until he walks out at our panel.
I could see that happening.
But there's the Anything Goes with John Barrowman. I've never been to one of those, but everyone says they're a lot of fun. John Barrowman played Captain Jack on Torchwood. And I think he was on Arrow. I don't watch Arrow, but I think he's on that show or was on that show. But that's supposed to be a fun time. There's also the Buffy musical episode screening, which they've done every year forever now at this point. And then the one, it's too late in the day. I'm already on the road back home at this point and burned out from Comic-Con. But, like, the last thing of the day that they've been doing the last few years is the Comic-Con Talkback, which is essentially a town hall where it's not like to their credit, Comic-Con doesn't, like, send some lackey to represent. Like, the president of Comic-Con International will be at this panel, and anyone can show up and gripe to him about their experience and what they'd like to see changed.
Yeah, I wonder if any of the film critics or press who go and complain about this stuff, I wonder if any of them have ever gone to that to say something about how Hall H, because they're all gone by then.
They're all on, like, they're all home by noon. They're back. None of the film critics stays on Sunday, in my experience.
Pretty that's too bad, but this is their job. There is a Animaniacs live thing that I might go to at 3 o'clock that day, and then there's a couple of cartoon voice panels I think that day as well. I will probably end up bringing Miranda to Comic-Con that day because it's the easiest one for her to go to, and there's lots of events and lots of people dressed up, and so she had a lot of fun seeing people dressed up and taking pictures of them last year, and so we'll probably do that again this year on Sunday. So outside of the panels, is there anything else that you're looking forward to at Comic-Con, apart from hanging out with friends and maybe catching a screening of a movie?
Hopefully catching a screening, but I've not had much luck with that Woods thing so far. But that's what it, like, Comic-Con is, it's fun for all the geeky stuff and I buy the exclusives, but really the main reason I look forward to going every year is people like you and Angie Han and people that I essentially only see at Comic-Con every year. People who that I know from the internet who don't live in Los Angeles, and so I never see them. I see them at Comic-Con, and that's a big part of what I'm looking forward to, is hanging out with my Comic-Con friends.
Same here. I mean, it's totally true. Like, I like going to the panels, but then I end up, when I walk the floor, I have fun for a few minutes, and then I just start to get anxious, and then I just feel like I come up with excuses to, leave the convention center and go do something else, and maybe, meet up for lunch with people, or go, just sit around and people watch for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I might do, I'm putting a little, much less pressure on myself panel-wise, and I think I might do a lot more people watching, which is honestly, I went 3 years in a row before, 06, 07, 08, before I started being press. 09 was my first year as press. And I did a lot fewer panels back then, because I guess I felt like I didn't, I guess once I started being press, I felt like I had to, have something to write about or tweet about,
Yeah.
And I used to do a lot more, people watching. I would spend large sections of the afternoon just in the gas lamp, walking around and seeing cosplay and sitting down and having a drink somewhere. And I'm kind of, I'm looking to do a little more of that this year. And especially see some of the offsites, which has become, you and I, we just talked about Comic-Con itself. But we could do a whole preview episode about the offsites and all the stuff that's going on at these events that are not officially Comic-Con. It's a fascinating thing that's sprung up around San Diego Comic-Con, and that I think is the main thing that sets it apart from competitors like New York Comic-Con, is that it exists so much outside of the convention center.
Yeah, I'm looking at the stuff that's going on at the library one more time, just to see if there's anything else that I missed. And there's a Game of Thrones fan discussion at the library on Saturday at 4 o'clock, which seems like it might be a lot of fun. I mean,
I'm glad you think that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm a Song of Ice and Fire fan, not necessarily a Game of Thrones television series fan, but I'm a fan of the books. But no, that's not for me. I'm going to listen to other book fans talk about their theories. Not my style.
Yeah. Well, David, is there anything else that you had on your list of things to talk about? I think that's it for me for Comic-Con planning.
No, that's it. Just that I'm looking forward to it. And also, I will warn you again, as a guy who went to WonderCon this year, with the new thing this year is the RFID badges that you just have to scan in and out. And my main problem with those is the towers are too low, and you have to stoop over every time you come in or out of the convention center to scan your thing. And it's gonna people are going to throw out their backs doing that this year. So, word of warning, do your stretches before you go to the convention center.
I don't know if this is something that you care much about or have heard about, but the RFID or the little QR code that is on the badge that contains all of your private maybe not all of your private information, but a lot of your private information kind of unencrypted that anyone can read with the right scanner. And I don't even know like if you have an RFID reader, if you can get that same type of information, but you can download like any iPhone app that reads a QR code and get the person's address and phone number right from that little logo on your badge.
Yeah, and that's look. I watched Mr. Robot last season. I'm terrified all the time now. So
I don't know about the RFID chip thing. I don't know how that works as far as like if you have any kind of reader, can that just like pull in if you just walk around and not even look at people's badges, but can that just like suck in names and addresses and phone numbers without even having to really like scan that QR code? I don't know if that's possible, but that just seems like a step in the wrong direction, or they need to like encrypt this in some way, because just even just seeing that like someone could easily get my address and phone number if they just were to take a picture of my badge. Anyway,
yeah.
Total tangent, and I'm sure hopefully Comic-Con is going to address this in the future, but that seems like a big, potential problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's a really good positive note to wrap things up on.
Well, David, thanks so much for joining me tonight, and thanks I will see you in a few days when Comic-Con starts.
Can I plug my my website and
please
stuff.
Please do. Sorry, if anyone I'm sure the circles of listeners, everyone who listens to the Criterion Cast already listens to Battleship Pretension, but in case they don't, feel free
in case
to
they
tell
don't
us.
Yeah, you yes. can it's battleshippretension.com is where you find the website and where you find all of the stuff that I write, mostly movie reviews and increasingly home video reviews, which ties into the Criterion Cast outlook. And you can email me at david@battleshippretension.com, and you can follow me on Twitter @DavyPretension.
All right. I'll see you next week.